Good morning and welcome to Renovating in WA. I'm Sally Barker. Joining me on the show today is Sue Daly from Into Property and Matt Latham from Liquid All Sorts Plumbing, proud station sponsors. How are you?
Well.
Good, thank you.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. That wasn't a very convincing start to
no,
the morning.
No, it is very well. You just completely lost me there.
All right. So plumbing, you know, that gives it all away. So tell us, what is the most important thing we need to know about plumbing when we are renovating a house?
No, I'm going to take this one if I can. I'm actually going to say, to me, it's one of the most important things to make sure you get right. Mm-hmm. So we've discussed with Sally before in other episodes the planning of it and the layout with Michael and making sure that you get it. You have those 3D designs so you can actually see where everything's going. Because to me, if you get it wrong, the work involved to fix that is a lot harder than what people give it credit for. So would I be correct in saying
definitely.
That? An example is we had Zach and we were talking about lighting. If you put a light in the wrong spot, it's quite easy to fix a ceiling. Okay. Mm-hmm. If we put piping in the wrong spot, well, they're chased into walls, they're cemented over. To actually relocate those is a lot of work. And if you've already tiled over it, guess what? You have to pull everything off and start again. So I emphasise to people that it is one of the most important things to make sure you get right. Do your planning. Make sure it's all the layout that you want before you go ahead. Talk to your plumber and make sure you've got everything down pat before you start.
So is that important to convey to the client as well, to make sure that, you know, because you have to get it right. You can't go ahead and change your mind when we're this far through a project.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where Sue would be liaising with the client at the start. She mentioned, touched upon the 3D drawings and that, to know what you've got. So you're not sticking a toilet in a spot where you've got no room or, you know, some bathrooms can be very scrunched up. And that's generally through a lack of planning.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I do talk about with clients as well is the saying, you know, the poor man pays twice. Yes, you want to work to a budget, but make sure plumbing has a good part of that budget in there. Don't scrimp on it. I don't believe it's an area you should scrimp on because you do want to make sure it's right. The plumbing lasts a long time. Those pipes stay in your house for a long time. So get it right. Spend that little bit of money to make sure you've done it correctly. And, of course, make sure you've got a good plumber to do the work.
Mm. All right. Well, how do we know if we do have a good plumber?
That's a good question. I guess first, you know, it's always good to do a bit of research on who you're dealing with.
Definitely.
Word of mouth is obviously effective. If you've got friends and family who have used someone who's been reliable, and especially if the job they did is several years old, you know it's standing the test of time, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Plumbers have a contractor's ticket, so there's a couple levels of licensing, mm-hmm. whether it's a tradesman's license, which means you're a licensed tradesman to work under someone else.
Mm-hmm.
The contractor's ticket's the big one. It means someone will sign off on it, and amongst the licensed contractors, they've got to be insured as well. So, like I said, you're looking for your licensed contractor at the end of the day.
And again, as you heard, we've brought insurance into it again because Zach mentioned he had the contractors and then there was the workers. So you've got a PL number?
Yeah, plumber's licence number.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, and both, all the trades are registered with, you're with the plumber's licensing board,
yep.
And Zach would have been with the electrician's licensing board,
mm-hmm.
but as well is they've got to have their insurances to protect the work that they do. So this is, again, we keep talking about insurance and how important it is.
Mm.
You know, the contractors themselves have to have insurance. So using someone that's not licensed, it does negate your insurance, but of course they won't have the insurance if something goes wrong as well, predominantly.
Right. Yes.
Predominantly.
Yeah, so that's important. This is another thing, isn't it? Making sure that, you know, you and your mates don't just go and do your own plumbing.
Dig a home. Make a toilet.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Put the, you know, the shower outside or, you know, those kinds of things near the pool. Do that yourself.
I'm sure it's been done, though.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. But you don't realise that if something does go wrong, your insurance...
Correct.
Well, they might not pay.
They might not pay, and it's making sure things are done. Again, you do a compliancy report that you issue through, isn't it?
So there's a certificate of compliance at the end of the job.
Right.
Submission of paperwork before the job starts as well, and if the main drainage has been changed as well, you've got to submit an as-constructed diagram of the drainage.
So where do you submit that?
That goes to the building commission.
Uh-huh.
And the other compliance certificate is one for the owner, one for the plumber, and one for the builder or the client.
Okay. Oh,
did I mention?
No, the client, the building commission.
Yeah.
So the plumber's licensing board, we discussed that before with Joe, is actually now under the building commission. So it's actually part of that area now. So
So if you misplace your certificate, it's filed somewhere else anyway.
Yeah. Or scanned. Or put on a computer.
Well, that's it. It's up there in the cloud somewhere, isn't it? All right. Well, tell us, what are the most popular things being asked for during a renovation?
Walk-in showers, would you agree?
Yep.
And back-to-wall toilets.
Yeah. Back-to-wall toilet suites are a big one. Mm-hmm. They're excellent as far as cleaning goes. Mm. You know, you don't have any nooks and crannies. If you can hide all your pipework, it's better rather than having your dusty, rusted-looking water isolation valve next to the toilet.
Yep. So, and of course, that's the thing. If you are doing a back-to-the-wall toilet, you've got to make sure if you want to have the tap outside or if you want to, or the isolation valve outside, or whether you want to actually incorporate it behind the toilet. So that's a change of basically piping. So one of those planning issues. Walk-in showers. These are an interesting one. Walk-in showers, everyone wants them. They don't want the glass, you know, they just want the fixed panel and they can just walk on in. But there are requirements that go with that, which I'm going to let you explain. It's not as simple as just take the hob out and put the glass in.
Right, so what do we need to know there?
Oh, okay, so a lot of the hob that goes around the old showers can serve a couple of purposes, obviously keeping the water inside the shower recess. But in some situations where, without getting into too much detail, every plumbing system, or most of the time, should have an overflow relief gully, which is that open drain a lot of people hear water pouring into.
Yeah.
It's usually outside a laundry or or a kitchen. Now, in the event there's a sewer surcharge from the main, from the Water Corporation sewer, or a blockage in the line, all the contents of your waste should be spewing out outside. Now, if you don't have a 150mm gap between the top of that and the lowest lying waste point in the house, you can be at risk in the event of a blockage of waste pouring out into your house.
Home. And the shower tends to be the lowest point in the house.
In which event takes us to a reflux valve. So that valve is a one-way valve, so stuff can go down it, but it can't come back up.
Uh-huh.
If that's installed, then you safeguard yourself against walking into your house, into a horror show, basically.
Mm. And there's an Australian standard as well that relates to that. There is a legislation that says that you need that hob or you need the reflux valve, so it's one or the other. So a good plumber would definitely advise you that that's the legislation. I've gone blank on the AS number. I actually had it in my head earlier, but I've gone...
3500.
There you go. Yep. So AS 3500, so that actually states that it has to be the 150mm or the reflux valve in place to allow for that.
So what you're talking about, say, I'm picturing my mum and dad's ensuite at the moment, so if you let the bath out too fast, it all comes gurgling up.
The shower.
Outside in the, you know, just as you step, you know, the extra drain inside. Yeah, so this is what we talk. If it was installed correctly, it shouldn't be coming back up.
Is this internally or...?
Internally.
Oh, okay, you might just have some existing minor blockages in that scenario.
Okay. Yeah.
Which actually, I suppose, is some of the issues that you come up with. If you're doing a renovation, plug up your drain holes. The last thing you want is rubble going into those drain holes because it causes blockages and you will get water from your bath going up to your shower or your internal drain.
But what you're saying is a similar sort of thing that happens. So it can spew back up through the drains in the floor.
Mm. Okay.
But yeah, so if you're renovating and you're gutting your bathroom, as we call it, or getting the tiles out with a jackhammer, put a rag's a good thing. Just, you know, fill the drain up with a rag and just stop anything going down into it. And it's easy to knock that out, so be aware of it when you're working in a bathroom or any, the kitchen or any wet areas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't let the rubble go down. These are the boys that have to fix it. So.
Oh, no. All right, well, let's move on to taps. Now, we've seen a big change in what taps we have in bathrooms now. So what's the most popular?
Oh, the mixer taps.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah. Why is that?
Just ease of use, really. Mm-hmm. There's also maintenance costs. You're not changing, forever changing washers and refacing the tap seats. And when they come to the end of their maintenance life, they have to be cut out the wall. So people don't particularly enjoy that too much.
Mm-hmm. When you're doing a renovation, mixer taps are one of the biggest issues or one of the biggest things. But you've got to actually have the body of the mixer tap put in at the beginning. So the plumber has to know what products you're using. Because if you are using a mixer tap in the shower, they have to make sure it's the wall body. Is that the right term? Is actually put into the wall before any other trade come on site. They need that in place. So that's a very important thing for those mixer taps.
Yeah, so you can't change your mind at the last minute.
No, that's why you make sure you're planning, make sure you order it in time and have it ready for the guys to start the job.
So how important is it for you to have some sort of plan or know where the existing pipework is?
We can find that out pretty quickly after demolition. You can often see the old cut holes where it's been cemented back in. Not always the case, but where the existing pipework is, plumbers generally work to a certain rule as far as heights. And I say generally, most of the time. So picking up the existing pipes is not a hard job.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, what else do we need to know if we're at the beginning in the planning stage? What are some things that, you know, you could put in place that you could find that you become unstuck later on down the track?
How about one of the jobs like where the piping was under the floor? So once we took up the tiles and the screed, it's just a sand floor in the bathroom. Yeah. And the actual piping is under there. So this is where we say it's all in the plumbing. Make sure it's a priority part of your budget. Because the best option there would actually be to get the piping up in the ceiling rather than under the slab.
Yeah, it does depend on the original installation. A lot of the older places do have piping in the floor.
Mm. So what you're saying is we don't put it in the floor now, is that what you're saying?
Not on a lot of new houses, no.
You
like to keep it above ground where you can, because if there is ever an issue, you're not cutting holes in floors and ripping up tiles and undermining the waterproofing, basically. So, and some floors have electric heating in the floor as well. You know, the sort of issues and the cost involved just to fix one leaking pipe, it can climb quite quickly.
So having that going to the cost of actually putting the pipes up into the ceiling, so more accessible rather than under a slab, long term is a benefit because it will save you a lot more money in the long term than if you leave it under the floor. You get a leak somewhere along the line, you know, it's an old pipe, it's actually weakened, say, as an example, and you've got to pull up all those tiles.
Mm-hmm.
The guys have got to, you know, literally jackhammer out the slab and get to it. The cost of that will far outweigh relocating the pipes when you can do it.
So how do you get the water forced up? Is there an extra pump system you need to install?
No, the pressure in the water main is enough to get plumbing up several stories.
Okay.
So it's just a case of running the pipe work to suit.
Okay. So you're saying in previous years, would that have been a consideration, the pressure? To have it all underground?
No. It's just how they ran it.
The way they did it.
Yeah.
Like the old Sparkies.
Exactly.
We just did it this way.
Yeah. We did, yes. Put the PowerPoint next to the water pipe.
Yeah. All those sorts of things.
Yeah, so there's another thing for people to remember is a PowerPoint in a kitchen or a bathroom can't be within 150 mil, I think it is, of a water outlet or a water pipe. So that's why bathrooms, you'll always find a PowerPoint is away from the basin and in a kitchen. One example I've got is in a property when we took a PowerPoint away, where the PowerPoint was, the actual water pipes were right next to it. Literally, the Sparky had actually gone straight in and they'd actually nicked the pipe and filled it with foam. So you've got a nicked pipe and live wires in the same cavity. So yes, there is restrictions on how close you can have power and water together. They don't play nice, unfortunately.
But I bet you see quite a bit of this when you in old houses.
Oh, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Yeah. So we're surprised. You're going, my gosh. But you're going, well, you know. It's just one of our main things we need to fix.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's not always old houses.
No, really.
So, no.
Is that right?
Not always old houses. So, I think there's other issues that we've actually encountered as well, where we've had tiling over tiling. That creates problems for you as well when you're fitting off things.
Yeah, I've walked into jobs where I've just come in at the end. People have done all the demo and they said, nah, it's all going in the same spot. But if they do build the tiles up on top, sometimes the tap wear can be too deep in the walls. Oh. And also the waste points can be too low because the heights have been adjusted. There are ways around it, but again, you know, what could have been fixed quite quickly and cheaply during the demolition and pre-lay stage has now seen the price push out just on the back of the fact that someone's tried to save some money in a particular area.
All right, so it does. It comes down to planning.
Yep, planning. All of them. Talk to the trades.
Yep.
Find out how they best do that work to save, because the trades will actually give you an idea of their timelines and how they work. And, of course, if you work with them on that, it saves you money as well, because if they've got to come back out again or a second or a third time when they could have just done it all in one hit, it will cost you.
Mm, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us on Renovating in WA. Sue Daly from Into Property and Matt Latham from Liquid All Sorts Plumbing, proud station sponsors.
Thank you, Sally.